I hope you all had a good afternoon. I have my kids and grandkids over today, so I had, a loud afternoon. I was thinking the other day about all the different choices that people seem to be confronted with in life today. And, there's pro-choice, and I guess you could call it anti-pro-choice, and there's choosing politicians and choosing directions that you go in life. There just seems like there's a plethora of choices, and it's almost unimaginable all the different kind of things that people have to decide to do. And it almost makes life seem unbearable when you have so many things that you have to do and so many directions to go, and you have to choose the more important over the less important. And it gets to a point where you're mind-boggled. There's just, what do I do? What's most important? You have to evaluate things and so on. And I realized that in a spiritual sense, it's actually a lot simpler. We don't have that many choices to make. And so it makes it a lot easier for God's children to live in this world, because we really only have to choose from good and evil. In Genesis chapter 2, in verses 16 and 17, we read, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you'll die. You'll surely die." And listen, that makes it pretty simple. Do I eat or not eat? Am I going to obey God or not obey God? It isn't that complicated. You don't have to be a physicist or a nuclear scientist or whatever. You just have to decide, do I eat and die, or do I not eat and live? So we have simple choices as Christians. And it really narrows things down in our day-to-day lives, because now there is a plethora of things that we don't even have to think about. We don't have to deal with them because we know they're on the wrong side of righteousness. So I don't have to decide whether I want to go see this movie or that movie, or, I just realize these are in this category, and so I just forget the whole category altogether. I think it makes life easy. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we read, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You think of this, how these kind of things play out even in the very beginning. It was really a choice of do I obey God or do I not obey God? I can give in to the lusts of my heart, right? The pride of life, and the lust of my eyes, rather, and the pride of life. I can give in to those things, but then I'm on the wrong side of that decision process. And it comes down to everything that we do in this life. I was talking with somebody during a Bible study just recently and told them that God comes first in everything. It makes the decisions in life really easy. So when my mother, God bless her soul, was dying of pancreatic cancer, my choice was that, yes, she needed my help, but God came first. I didn't stay home on Sunday morning with my mother. I wanted to, but God came first. Choices are narrowed down when you put God first before all things. And so what we did is either my brothers or sister would deal with it, or I'd get somebody else to stay with her, but I was going to be here. I made a choice. It's the simple choice. God's first in everything. Sometimes I watched my mother in the morning. Sharon went to worship, and then I would go in the evening to worship, and Sharon watched my mother at night. But however you do it, God came first. If family or friends came and visit out of town, God comes first. I would never say to a family or to another individual that I'm staying home from worship, God, because my family's in town. You see how decisions make the difference. In the Garden of Eden, had Eve thought that way, had Eve said, God comes first, we wouldn't be in this situation. But she didn't, nor did Adam. And so making choices, whether we do eat and die, or whether we don't eat and live, pretty simple. And so really it comes down to putting God first before all things in all our decisions. By faith, when Moses was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents. Why? Because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And then something else happened that's very, very important for us to understand. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They put God first. They weren't afraid of Pharaoh's commands. They were, too bad they weren't in the Garden of Eden, because they might have made the right choice. But they weren't afraid, and so they made the right choice. They chose the right thing over the wrong thing. And that's the way we need to be in our lives. We all know this verse from Joshua. Very, very powerful. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a choice there. Not only for himself, but he was the husband of the household. Right? He was the head of the household. The Apostle Paul makes that very clear. The head of every woman is man, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. There's a hierarchy there. And Joshua made that choice. It's a clear choice. As for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord. And so he made that choice. And I'm sure that was not an easy choice. I'm sure he had a plethora of things going on around him too. But it makes it better when you choose God first in every decision that you make. God comes first. And we need to realize that how important this is, because we can either serve the world, that's the wrong choice, right? What is it in the world we can serve? We can serve our jealous desires, right? Lust of the eyes, pride of life, lust of the flesh. We can do that. We can serve the world when it comes to a situation where I have to choose friends, family over God. We can do that. We can choose the world when the Cleveland Browns football playing and it just happens to be the biggest game of the year. Maybe they'll be in the Super Bowl and that'll be on a Sunday, and we can choose. We can choose wrong, or we can choose right, because to choose right means simply to serve God. In every single capacity, we must serve God.
is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He comes first. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus, when he was asked by that rich man, you know, what is the greatest commandments? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Honor thy father and mother. Right? These are the commands. And then he said, well, I've done all that. What made him fall? What was it that caused him to stumble? Why? What? He made the wrong choice because Jesus told him then, you sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And that's not a command to sell your house, your car, your boat, your fishing equipment, your golf equipment, your lawn equipment, whatever. It's not that. He's telling him you have to be willing to give it all up if you expect to follow me. God comes first. That's what he's saying. And it has to be that way. Because if it isn't that way, we will stumble. Because there's only two ways to go. Only two ways. And we need to realize of those two ways, there is a right way and there's a wrong way. It makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? You can leave here tonight getting rid of 90% of your problems just by choosing the right way every time. That doesn't mean life's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you'll never get sick. It doesn't mean you won't have money problems. It doesn't mean that things won't happen at work. But choosing the right way means that you can rest your head at night. It means that you know that you've done all that you can that day, this day, to please the Lord. That your life was spent for Him. He's first in every single thing. And we need to know that because there are consequences for making the wrong choice. We read that in the book of Colossians that he who does wrong will be repaid, says the Lord. He'll be repaid for what he's done. And he goes on to say that there's no partiality with God. God doesn't have partiality. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or non-Christian. It doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, young, old. It doesn't matter. If you do wrong, you're going to pay for it. That was something Peter tried to explain to the saints in the early church. Things are going horribly. We're being persecuted right and left. But don't worry about it because in the end, God's going to be the judge. They will receive the recompense for the works that they do. And so we need that. In Romans chapter 11 at verse 22, we understand with God, there's goodness and severity with God. Those who fell because of they made the wrong choices, severity. And those who made the right choices, those who follow after God, those who put God first, or in every single choice that we make, those people will continue in His goodness, and they will be rewarded for that. So we must learn to diligently study, to know for sure, what does God want of me in this world? What are the right choices when it comes to the church, when it comes to my worshiping God? And what is it that will bring me through that narrow gate that is, by the way, difficult? Those choices will determine our eternity. We remember what Jesus said. He talks about this wide gate. Many will come, many will enter into destruction. It's an easy way to go. It's a lot easier to say, listen, neighbor, I know we're having this big party today and we all want to be here, but I have to worship God. Because in the end, you'll be facing God. But in the world, when we look at it from a worldly sense and not a spiritual sense, it's a lot easier to tell God, I'm going to be at this party with my friends today, and I'll see you next Sunday. Why is it easier? Because you got to go face to face with your friends. We kind of forget the fact that one day we'll be face to face with God. Every single choice we've made is going to be counted. Jesus said that we'll be judged by every idle word that comes out of our mouth, Matthew 12 and 33, I believe. We're going to be judged by everything's written down in God's book. And so we need that. We don't want to go in that wide, easy path. It's so much easier to say yes to a friend and no to God. You understand that? It's so much easier because it's your friend's going to rebuke you. Your friend's going to call you a name. Your friends are going to say, oh, you're just so religious. You know, lighten up. God's not going to say a word till the day of judgment. And so there are those two gates, that narrow, difficult gate, which leads to heaven. And so we want to enter that gate and not the broad gate, which is the wrong way. We also want to stand on the rock of Christ. That's His word, rather than the sand, which is opposite of His word. And I also want to remind you that there's two kinds of righteousness. You know, we read this from Romans chapter 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. So there's two kinds of righteousness. Because they haven't submitted to the righteousness of God. I mean, it's your own righteousness. You've decided what's right. And you're leaving God out of the decision. Or you follow God's righteousness, which means you decide that you're not right. He's always right. Let God be true and every man a lie. And there's also two deaths. We're all going to die, but there's two deaths. We read in John 8:24 where Jesus says, therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. So there's one death that we die in our sins because we don't obey Christ, we don't listen to Christ, we don't make those kinds of choices. There's another death. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, right, blessed are those that are the dead who die in the Lord. That's the other death. From now on, he says, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works will follow them. That's the second kind of death. Which one do you want? Well, it all depends on what you choose. If we're like Joshua, then this day we choose to follow the Lord. Or if you're on the other hand, and you only choose to follow the Lord every once in a while, or when it suits you, then that's the death that you don't want. And so real quick, let's talk about making choices. First of all, we want to choose God. The God of the Bible. We don't want to choose the God of the coexist world, right? He's the God of Islam, the God of Buddha, the God of all the different gods that they have on that coexist sign. They believe that all those gods are the same. Allah is the same God as the God of the Bible. He's the same God as Christ. They believe they're all the same. Buddha, Islam, they're all the same gods. No, God's revealed Himself clearly to us in the Scriptures. He's told us who He is, that the fact that He's eternal, He has existed forever, the fact that He created everything, including us, and the fact that He came into the world and gave us a good message for salvation. He died on a cross, shed His blood, that He's risen from the grave. He's now in heaven waiting that day when He'll return to take His people up into heaven. What a glorious day that will be for those who make the right choices in life. And so we want to choose the God of the Bible. Remember in 1 Kings 18, when there's going to be a battle between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah's with the people and he's telling them, choose this day. How long will you falter between two opinions? We need to be the people who make a decision. I'm going to follow God in everything. In my life, my work, my private time, in my prayers, everything is the God of creation, the Almighty God, The God that's everlasting to everlasting. The one that in Revelation 4 and 8 that was, is, and will be again, that God. And so Elisha's saying, how long will you falter between two opinions? There's only one God, so there should only be one choice. Of course, we do make up gods for ourselves, don't we? Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. You put away all the other gods, all the other choices in your life. Nothing's more important than the Lord. And you serve him in sincerity and truth. And you shall have no other gods before you. That's the right way to go. So we need to choose the God of the Bible. We also need to choose the good part. And in Psalm 86 and 11, you know, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. That's what he said. Teach my heart to fear you. That's the right way. Choose the good path. Think of Mary and Martha. We all know that account, right? Luke chapter 10. One served, the other one worshiped. They did their part. They chose what was important to them to take care of the Lord. And so we need to choose what direction we're going to go. But the bottom line is, how is this going to serve my master? How is this going to serve the Lord, the choices that I make in life? Right? We need to choose to hear the word of God. That was Psalm 86:11. We need to choose to hear God's word. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your path or your truth. Unite my heart, he says, to fear you. And so that's what we need to do. Learn of his ways. That's something that's important, right? Isaiah 1 and 2. You think of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, that's the prophecy of how Israel was going to learn, how the whole world was going to learn of God. My people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain. Where are they going? They're going up to Zion, the house of the Lord, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion came the law and goes forth in the word of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, we need this. That's what makes the good decision, you know, and for good reason. Let's think of the reasons. There's good reasons. First of all, choosing the right path simply comes by faith. It's the only way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So choosing that right path, and choosing the right path is what saves our souls. We can choose any way we want, but there's only one right way. There's only one narrow gate that's difficult that leads to eternal life. We need that path. Think of Psalm 90. So teach me to number, teach us, he says, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We don't have every day for eternity. And so we need to follow that path directly. And choosing that right path serves us in the right way to save our souls. Choosing the right path builds us up and gives us an inheritance. The word of his grace is able to build us up, to give us an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So, you know, those are really good reasons why we should make this choice. Choose the good part. We also need to choose a good name. There's a lot of people that are born into this world with a name they wish they could change, and some do. They don't like the name. Can you imagine being born in the world and your parents call you Jezebel? Or you're born in the world and you're called Judas? Over time, that could be a hindrance. But a good name is chosen rather than riches, is what we hear from Solomon in Proverbs. So we need to choose that good name. It's better than silver and gold. There's nothing like it. And the greatest name that we can choose is that word Christian, that name Christian. And when we choose that, that means that we've heard, we believe, that we've repented, we've confessed, and that we've been baptized into Christ, and we continue to walk that narrow path. That's how you get the name. You choose to have that name applied to you by the blood of Christ. And so we need to have that good name. And we need to choose to serve God over every pleasure of life and every season of life. Sometimes I think that the church fails itself as members get older and they just choose to do less and less and less. I'm not talking about physically unable, but I'm talking about a choice to not do or be part of the work. We need to choose to serve God over pleasures. And for a season simply means that we're only here for a season. We're here by the twinkling of an eye, a puff of smoke, and then it's all over. Remember the account of the fool, the rich man that had all those barns. And, fool, the Lord said, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will those things be in which you have provided? Right? He who does not have treasure in heaven, he's not rich towards God. So if you lay up all this treasure and you choose these things, you know, the pleasures of life, you're choosing the wrong path. Hebrews 11 and 23 through 28. I don't think I can quote that, so let's read it. Hebrews 11, 23 through 28. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Choice one. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Choice two. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Choice three. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Choice four. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them, and so on, and so on, and so on. See, he made choices to follow God, the right choices, getting rid of the pleasures of life that are just very temporary. In Luke 12, that rich man that had all that plenty sat back and thought for himself, you know, I'm going to eat and drink and going to live a good life, and his soul was required of him that very day. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 that we just read, he chose to suffer affliction with his people. And think about that choice. That wasn't choosing whether I'm going to worship today or not. It wasn't choosing whether or not I'm going to read my Bible today. It wasn't choosing whether or not I'm going to teach a class. Because if I make the wrong choice there in this life, you know, it's like almost like you feel like there's no consequence. But here, when he chose this path, he chose something that brought pain and sorrow, affliction with his people. He was in the mud making bricks, feeling the whip of those who guided them. So it was a pretty serious choice there. And so we need to make those choices. Pursue genuine righteousness. The righteousness that leads to life. And so he that pursues it, he's not pursuing evil. He's making the choice. He's not pursuing what will cause him to die. So those are the things. And so just think of what Joshua said, choose this day. And think about the ramifications of what he said. And how it's so easy to read that and say, oh, wow, that's such a great verse. And I've heard it so many times and it makes so much good sense. And I just love that verse. And yet I make choices every day that are contrary to that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, at least any of you, be hardened in your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Make a choice to change that today. Make a choice, if you will hear his voice through the word of God, to change that today. For you don't know what the day brings. We know that's true. And so we make wise choices today. Because tomorrow, if the Lord wills, we'll make more wise choices. And if he doesn't, we don't want to be the one who hears those words, you fool. You heard it, and you chose the wrong path. That's all that I have. I hope that helps you. It's an encouraging, at least to me, to know that I can make choices. I can choose to follow God. I can choose to live the inspired life. I can choose to be under the guidance and the control and the command of my Lord, my King, my Master, my Savior. And I can make the right choices because God's helped through the Word of God. And that applies to every single one of us here tonight. If you have any need, we have a song of invitation. The title is, Are You Coming to Jesus Tonight? The Lord Jesus has said, and if you've been here before, you heard the words, come. Come unto me, you who are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. The invitation is consistent, perfect, and true. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? If you have a need, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.